Amen. I really like that song, and I've known a few brothers over the years that have sung that. I remember Brother Carl Herms, down in Florida. He was down south at Brother, I can't think. He came from where Brother Barnes came from. He used to sing it, and then from there, Brother Tiny started singing it, and I just, oh, it always touches your heart. And so we thank God. Let us bow our heads and our hearts as we look to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come with much thanksgiving, Lord. We come with revelation, Lord, of knowing who you are and, Lord, what your purpose is in this last day, what your purpose that you had in your mind before the foundation of the world, the purpose, Lord, that you had for your bride and what you wanted her to be and to express, Lord, and to surrender and that you might have the preeminence in her in all things. And Father, we come giving you the thanks and praise, Lord, for this great plan, this great manifestation, this great expression, Lord, of Jesus Christ living in the body of his bride in this last day. And Lord, we're so blessed. Lord, we just ask that you would be with those that are here and those that are not, those that are working or sick or whatever would be the thing that's hindering them, Lord, may you bless them and strengthen them. We know every desire is to be here, is to be, Lord, at every opportunity to worship you and praise you and to set under the sound of your word, Lord. And so may you just anoint our presence tonight, Lord, and the word as it goes out, those that would listen in later. Lord, as we give you thanks and praise, as we commit all to you, we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. And we are happy to be here. And we thank God always. And I remember a brother down in Florida. And I just went blank on his name. But he was a humble brother and from Fort Walton Beach. The Horace Slay. I don't know if any of you know him. I think Sister Edith might know him, but he was a real humble brother, and he loved Brother Branham. He loved the prophet, and he was waiting for Joseph to do whatever he was going to do. He believed Joseph was the prophet taking over, but he tried to do everything like Brother Branham. He's very much in the natural side of it. He used to hold his Bible just like Brother Branham. He tried to wear the same kind of clothes Brother Branham did. Tried to do all of those things like that, and that's okay, but that's not it. That's okay. You know, we can admire the prophet and everything about him and all of his nature and everything about him. That's all good, but that's not the revelation. And but one thing he used to say, when he'd talk about, you know, he'd pray and say, we always ask God to bless his people, and he said, if there's one thing God's going to do, that's bless his people. God is going to bless his people because that's what he does. Every day, every day, he's blessing us, and we just give him thanks and praise for that. So now we'd like to get right into the message now. This is in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. This is part nine. And once again, I just had some right here, right off the bat. We're going to take a little detour because I want to hit a couple of thoughts that are introduced here, and they're very simple, and I know you know them, but Brother Branham makes some good comments, and so let's just see what he has to say. It's beginning at paragraph 250. This paragraph 250, 251, 252, we closed with on Sunday morning, so we're going to read that again. But the only way that you're saved is by know him by revelation. How are you going to get saved? How can you be saved? How can you be the elect? How can you be anything? There's only one way, and that's by revelation. And Brother Branham, when he closed out the church ages, the seals was revealed, the Bible was revealed, all of those things was was done, he said, now, there's only one way that you can come to God. And he said, that's by revelation. That's by faith. He used the word faith. He said, that's by faith. And so there's only one way. It's revelation. And there's only ever been one way. Whether it was a partial word, whether it was the revelation in part, the Spirit in part, whatever it was, all the way back to Cain and Abel, it's always been by revelation. That's the only way anybody could ever come, anybody could ever recognize the presence of God. And so Brother Branham is going to talk about that more as we go along in this message, how that God hid it. How that he hid it, and he's already told us that he was letting it out a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. But and at one place he says that he hid it from the very teachers, from the elected teachers. It didn't matter who it was, nobody could see it, even the elect, until the time appointed. Until the time appointed, nobody was going to see it, nobody was going to get it. There wasn't nobody going to say, oh, I seen that before the prophet come. I seen that before the, I seen. No, no, you didn't. You might have thought you did. You might have had read something about it or thought something about it, but it wasn't revealed until God reveals it. Yeah. And when God reveals it, then it goes from there, and God just can deliver it out any way that he wants to. He can use a preacher. He can use a nobody. I'm not making any sisters preachers, but sisters can talk about this same revelation that God has revealed, and God can let somebody see it. God can anoint somebody. And I don't believe in women preaching, but I do believe that sometimes you can witness to somebody and God will quicken that to their heart. And you don't never know when God is doing that. That sometimes we don't never know. Sometimes we know it later. Sometimes we feel something when we're talking to something. You have that special feeling, whatever it is. But God uses who he wants to. And he proved that. And we haven't mentioned it in a while. But he proved that when that woman was standing in the line. And she got God anointed her and spoke to her heart and said, pray for that little girl in front of you. Pray for her. And she wouldn't do it. She refused, and she refused. And she said, no, she's going to go to the prophet. How could I, and me a sister on top of that, not even a preacher, not even a nobody, how could I do that? How could I even think of? She wouldn't even consider it. And God put it on her so strong that she said, will you please just let me get this off of my heart? Because God has put it so strongly on my heart. I know Brother Branham's going to pray. I know that, but can I just do this? And she said, yes, you can. And she prayed. And the prophet said, she's already healed because that lady prayed for her already. Now, who determined that that child was going to be healed by the prayer of that woman? Who determined that before the foundation of the world? God is sovereign, and God is God. He's God, and he's going to do it his way every time, every time. Amen. The only way you're saved is by know him by revelation. I can take the Presbyterian doctrine and tie you Pentecostals till you won't know. I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you know nothing of. What's he saying? What is he saying, whether they're getting it or not? He's saying, you take a little bit of it and you leave it. You take a little bit of it and you leave it. This one's got some truth, and this one's got some truth, and this one's got some truth. But all of you, you don't even believe all that one another believes. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you Pentecostals got some truth and the Baptists don't even believe it. You Baptists got some truth and you Pentecostals don't even believe it. And that's exactly what happens to them. No matter how much they get, no matter how much revelation they have, when they come up to the message, if there's not a seed in there, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. There's no way they can get it, because that without that seed, Revelation's not going to fall in there. No matter how much intellect, no matter how much understanding they have, no much how much they say they believe the message, how much they say they believe the prophet, how much they claim to believe the mysteries, believe all of these things. That doesn't matter. I mean, we appreciate that, and we love everyone and have a right hand of fellowship to everyone who claims to believe God, claims to believe this message. Even to nominal people, we offer the right hand of fellowship. Yeah, come, come, listen to the word. But there's more of a kindred spirit with those that are claiming the message. But when they can't take all of it, there's no pretending. I'm getting myself out here and on things I didn't even plan on saying, but I feel like I'm getting on a limb that I'm sawing off, and I'm gonna keep myself in trouble. But the truth of the matter is, the message has been revealed to the bride, and it's not like. And this has been a misunderstanding many times, that we're not saying who's in and who's out. We're just saying, when you're refusing the revelation, you're not in yet. Now, I'm not saying you can't get in, or you'll never be in, or you're out, you're eternally lost. Not saying that. But I'm saying, when you can't receive the simplicity of the revelation that the prophet has brought. And I'm saying simplicity because you don't have to be into, have all the, know every mystery and be the most knowledgeable person in the message. It's not about how much knowledge you have of it, how much learning that you have of it. It's only one thing: is the life living in you? Is that life living in you? And that's so that goes straight across the board. And if you see somebody expressing a life other than Christ, then you don't have to judge them. They're judging themselves. The word's judging them. That's all. That's done. See? That's right. But that's not it. Let me back up and read that sentence again so you can tie that right together. I can take the Baptist doctrine and show you Pentecostals a million things that you know nothing of. That's right. But that's not it. That's not his church. That's not his church. Is he making that clear? That's not it. It's not, it don't matter if I got my notebook or my computer, and everywhere I go, I got every mystery all laid out, all listed out. I know just what it is, and right down the line like that. Anyone got any question? Here I go. Boom, boom, boom. That's not it. That's not it.
Amen.
His church is himself revealed.
Yes.
Now that's just beautiful, isn't it? The church, the body, the bride, is himself revealed. And you can't express anything else. When you, Brother Branham said, if you put the life of a pumpkin in a wheat, there's going to be pumpkins. That's going to be pumpkins. That's what it is. That's the life that's in there. And so when Christ's life is that seed is germinated in you, that's all it can do. And that's the reason why you don't have that desire anymore. Your nature has changed. It's Christ now. It's that nature for the world is gone. You're not after the world. You're not seeing how close to the line you can live. You're not seeing what you can get by with. You only got one thing, and that's Christ. You're focused on Christ. That's where you're going. That's every day is to please him. See? I'm sorry. His church is himself revealed. Amen. Do you see it? And expressed by the word itself that he is God. See? It's the word expressing itself, manifesting itself in you. And once that word is made alive, once it's quickened. Now, Brother Adams, I started to say once it comes in there. Brother Adam said it was always in there. It just needed to be quickened. It just needed that quickening power to hit it and bring it forth into manifestation. And so if it was always there, then it was put there before the foundation of the world. And I was reading out of the Future Home earlier this afternoon when I come home, and I was reading those quotes again, because some of those things that you think about and that's is on your heart, and Brother Branham was talking about that soul. And he said, if that soul is in there, if that soul come from God, he said, now, if it didn't come from God, he said, if that's the world, then that's what it is. But he said, if it come from God, then it's eternal with God. Because eternal means no beginning and no ending. That's what it is. And so that is the very life of God. And when that seed is quickened in you, then that eternal life is living. That eternal life is manifesting. And eternal life has no beginning and no ending. Let me read 252 one more time. His church is himself revealed. Amen. Do you see it? And expressed by the word itself, that he is God. See? But the revelation, come through the blood. How about that? The revelation come through the blood. And actually seven church ages, 2,000 years, the blood covenant, see? The blood came through Jesus Christ, who is the blood of God, the creative blood in the womb of Mary. Now, Brother Branham said the woman is the egg and the man is the blood cell. So this was, and he said this over and over and over, that he was neither Jew nor Gentile. There was no seed of a human there. This was the created blood of God. Amen. So the blood comes from the Father. So this cell, this blood cell, it came from God. Yes. And so if he was a Jew, then his father had to be a Jew. But he wasn't a Jew. No. He was the Son of God. And so, I don't know what the word is, but there is an element, there's a part of, I'm seeing more and more in the politics and through this election cycle and the different things, that there's two sides to the Jews. And Brother Branham talked about that also. And so, I don't know, there might be three sides to it. But one thing that I'm seeing very much is I used to think a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. And that's not so. That's not so at all. I mean, I always knew that there was the Wall Street Jew that Brother Branham identified. And he said, I'm not talking about that Wall Street Jew. But what I'm seeing now that I didn't know is how many of them are on the left. How many are or on the liberal side, and actually now we have the right and we have the left and then we have the liberal, and so there's the left goes extreme now. So there's a lot of the Jews that are I'm trying to be careful with my words here, but that are, I'm going to say, corrupt. I'm going to use the word corrupt. And you see it in the media, you see it in the politics, you see it, and if you look closely or if you study some of the politics, you see how much that they're in the office, you see how much they're in the politics, you see how much they're in the controlling those places. And that's just, there's a gift there that God has given them for financial gain, for political gain, for every kind of gain. They are very, very intelligent and persuasive people. And so if you have a good Jew, he's doing it to the good. And if you have a corrupt one, he's doing it to the bad. And so you have both sides. And so just like Brother Goomba and I was talking the other day about this, when they killed this Sinwar. They've been after this guy since October 7th. And so they finally got him, and they took him down. And then we were talking about how they masterminded, and I mean masterminded. You know, I've just marveled over the Six-Day War, how they went in and destroyed all of those countries in a day. You know, in hours, they took out every airport, and nobody's aircraft could get off the ground. And so that was just like almost supernatural what God did for them. And so, and people that are closer inside, they said they don't know where all them planes was coming from. They said Israel didn't have that many planes that was going in there. But of course, if you read it, the history, all that, you know, they have numbers to all of that. But inside people were saying, how could they bomb that many at one time the way that they were doing? And so now this Hezbollah thing, they have been slowly. Well, what they did is, you heard about the pagers, how that a couple years ago that Israel started a fake Japanese company and to sell pagers to Hezbollah, the terrorist, and all these other terrorists. And so they sold them these pagers, and under a false identity. And so before they sent them the pagers, they put a little bit of explosives in there, and then they, no doubt they didn't reveal this, but there's no way that they put explosives in there, and they didn't have a tracking device and a mic in there that they could listen to everything they were saying. And so Hezbollah, all of this time, Israel knew everything that they were doing. And so when the time was right, they just took out like 125 of their leaders, And so this is just recently, if you haven't listened to it in the news, this has never been before. Nobody has ever had this kind of technology or this kind of wisdom. And they did this 2 years ago. They've been working on this for 2 years. And they've just been going slowly, 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 waiting until the time was right. And so then, so they got all of them. Okay, so they killed Sinwar. Then they said that his brother was going to take over. And then ends up his cousin took over. Well, they just killed his cousin and 25 more leaders. I just seen it just a few minutes ago. When I was sending the quotes off, I went online and it popped up. So now the brother might be afraid now. But what God is doing with Israel has just been above and beyond. It's been amazing to me. It's been astounding. It's just like what was happening back there in the 60s. The things that God is doing to protect them. But there, once again, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's all sides of it. There's all sides of it. But God's got an elect in there. And that's the same thing it is in the churches. There's the good and the bad. It's there. It's always there. But that elect, you can't deceive them. You can't deceive them. And that seed of eternal life is in there. And that seed of eternal life is guiding them and protecting them. Brother Branham said there is not even any spiritual death to the elect. There is no spiritual death. And he said, all the rest of them, he said, it's eternal separation, because they can't never get a hold of it. They can't never get that revelation. It's not accessible to them at all. So he's talking about this blood cell. And so this blood cell is the life. That's where the life is. And so Brother Ram said that blood cell broke at Calvary. See, but here... here, when it first comes forth, it goes into the womb. See, it moved into this womb, and he covered himself over with his own creative blood. And he brought forth the Son, Christ Jesus, and the blood cell was broken at Calvary. See, the blood run out of his body in order that he could bring back into himself. Fellowship. What did he want? What was he going to gain from doing this? Fellowship. What did he lose there at the beginning? He lost fellowship. What did God and Adam have? They had fellowship. And God went to a lot of trouble, and he took thousands of years to bring it back. To bring it back to what he had, to what he wanted. God manifested in the pillar of fire. God manifested in the sun. God manifested in you. The same Holy Spirit that was the dispensation of the fatherhood. Jesus was the dispensation of the sonship. And this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. And we know where it's at now. We know where it's at. And perfection comes after those three stages. And so it's in the bride now. God tonight, the same Jehovah God that spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden lives in every born-again man and woman, trying his best to make you believe him. See? Have faith in him. Step out. Don't doubt one bit. That's right. See? But the same God that was with Abraham, is the same God that is tonight. And amen to that. Now, this is all the way back in 54, and so this predestination that he's revealing now in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, 1963, he's making it really clear. Don't worry, nobody's going to be lost. Nobody's going to get in here without revelation. Nobody that with the seed is going to be deceived, and nobody without the seed is going to get this revelation. It's not going to happen. God perfecting his church. Paragraph 24. Now notice here, just a little further as he went down. God making himself known through the fatherhood, through the sonship, through the Holy Spirit. Now see, he brought into himself a blood cell, wrapped himself up into this. And he broke forth the blood at Calvary, and he throwed out his blood, that he might bring through this blood cleansing by this same atonement. See? Taking every sinner, and cleanse him. And bring him into a fellowship that he can talk with man and walk with man like he did in the Garden of Eden before sin ever come onto the earth. Huh? Mm-hmm. Before sin ever come onto the earth. What does he want? He wants that same fellowship. He wants that same fellowship that he had with Adam and Eve. And our relationship is restored to Jehovah through the offering of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ's body was only revealed in that blood cell. Huh? Christ's body was only revealed in that blood cell and through the offering of the blood, which is life. So it's through his life, through his blood, that the revelation comes. That's what he told us. That's how the revelation comes, because he paid the price to redeem and to bring us back to that fellowship. And we come into that fellowship by the revelation of Christ revealing himself to the individual that they in Christ are one and the same. See? That he said, which is life, that he might destroy the life of sin and bring in the life of righteousness through his Son, Christ Jesus, putting a part of his life in ours. And we are together. See, didn't Jesus say, in that day you'll know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me and I in you and you in me. Now, this just happened to be in here. Where he's talking about this created blood, and this is something Brother Goomba was brought up to me yesterday. We worked together yesterday, and we rode together to and fro, and so we had some really good fellowship. And this is one of the things that we were talking about, and saying that it was this day. It was this day. We were talking about that new birth, and that this, no matter how much they had in that day, they didn't have the fullness that we have today. They didn't have what we have. And not everybody can receive that. Not everybody can understand that. Not everybody can believe that. And that's okay. But that's the revelation. That's the revelation. That's the thing. If you watch, if you listen, to the seals open up, and you watch the token message open up, and then you take Christ, the mystery of God, and watch it open up, and then you see it's clear that the blood was shed for the seven church ages. The blood was shed for the seven church ages, and then, and this is in 1965 in Thinking Mansfield, a brother Ren said, and then we enter into fellowship. Then we enter into fellowship. And that's exactly what he's talking about back here in 1954. In 1954 is getting back to that fellowship. Adam had something. Adam had something. He walked with God in the cool of the evening. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. He walked with God. He talked with God. He had fellowship with God. Amen. Another thing Brother Goomba brought up when we were riding along, he was just reminding me of it, but he said, Brother, you know that the tares are not being bound. And I said, that's right. I said, that's right, brother. He said, they are already bound. Oh, yeah. They're already bound. Yeah. And that's something to think about. Yeah. And then he related the quote, Brother Adam said, that once the tares are bound, then the rapture can take place. Mm-hmm. And Brother Adam said, I can't remember the quote. I haven't went back and read it, but he said, and does so sometime between, was it the binding and the, and something, I can't remember the other half of that quote. And the revelation. And so there it is. He was trying to tell the people, but God was hiding it from everything but the elect. And so the elect couldn't help but see it. The elect couldn't help but believe it. And so the others just thinks that you're crazy. They think that they read the same books that you read. They read the same messages that you read. And they even listen to the teachers, the preachers of the bride. And they hear what they're saying. And they see that the prophet said it. But there's nothing in there to make that alive. It's still something in the future, or it's something somewhere else, or they didn't expect it to be like that. But they see you're reading it. They know that it's coming out of the message. But they just can't comprehend it. They can't let go of something else to believe this that they were looking for to come. If that's not exactly what happened 2,000 years ago, there Christ was, the very thing they were looking for, and he could take them right into the scriptures, and he could tie them right in a knot with the scriptures, and they could say, yeah, that's there, that's there, that's there. And that's what Paul did to them. When Paul came along, he took the scriptures. We know that Jesus was hiding it over and over, and he thanked God that he was hiding it. And so he continually spoke in parables and parables and parables. But when Paul came, Paul went to the backside of the desert and got the revelation, and Paul began to open the scriptures. And he pulled those scriptures out of the Old Testament, out of the Old Testament, out of the Old Testament, and he began building the New Testament. He began building it and telling them and explaining to them. And he took those scriptures back there and he identified it and he said, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. And what a marvel it was to the elect of that day. And that's the same thing that when our prophet come, when he took the scriptures and he began to say, this is this, just like that scripture we just read there, he said, in that day you'll know. And then Brother Goomba was pointing out, he said, he told us, he said, that day is this day. That's what Brother Branham said. After the seals, he identified that what we thought was 2,000 years ago, all of those things that Paul talked about 2,000 years ago, many of them was not manifested there. They were for this day. They were for this hour. They were for this time. And so it's hard on the carnal mind, and we all come from a carnal mind. We can't help it. We're born with that mind, with that nature. The same thing. The only difference is the Spirit of God comes in and quickens it to the bride. That's it. God does it. It's completely what God done. So all of that, they're all bundled, whether they're Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or Message. Even these Message churches are bundled. They're bundled. They don't want no new revelation. They have their idea. If it's back there in the seventh church age, or if it's back in Paul's day, or if it, whatever it is, wherever they're at, wherever they bound themselves to. That's why you can't get into them. You can't get to those places. You can't. They're not going to have anybody come in unless you're certified. You believe it just like they believe it. And that's proof. You got to prove it. There's got to be some people telling them or telling that preacher that, oh yeah, he believes just like us. He preaches this, like this. Yeah. You got to work your way into that. But you can't believe all of it. You can't believe all of it. Very few open doors. That's one thing nice about across the pond. You get a lot more invitations to a place. Now, you might not keep getting to go there. You might get one time or two or five or ten, whatever they give you, whatever it is. Depends on the preacher. But here in America, it's hard to get an open door. See, if God was going, oh, listen to this. I read this. We're in Standing in the Gap. Now, today, if God was going to liquidate the people. Now, when did he liquidate? He liquidated in Noah's day. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so he had him build an ark and said, I got eight people here that I'm willing to salvage, and all the rest of it's going. So if God is going to liquidate the people, and there was a time when God had gotten tired of fooling with our sin. Is that what he told Moses? He was going to just stand back, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to take them all out. Okay? See, he got tired of fooling with our sin. We constantly going wrong. Who would stand like Moses today for the people? Huh? Who today would stand? Who would come and stand in the breach for the people? Where would we find a person that would stand or could stand, that God would accept like he did Moses? And Moses' own life on earth meant so much to God until it stayed the wrath of God. And God would not cross over Moses. Now that's powerful. And you think about it. Here was a man. He stood in the breach when God was going to destroy him. And he ran out there and he stayed the hand of God. And Brother Branham said, that always was a puzzle to me. Huh? How that prophet could stand there and God hold back the wrath of God over the people. See? It said, one day in revelation of the scripture, there came this thought to me. That you see, Moses in act was every way substituting. He was a type of Jesus Christ. Huh? Is that right? Because people don't like that sometimes. They don't like it when you say it about Adam. They don't like it when you say it about the other prophets. And what about this prophet? What about this prophet today? And when God was going to take the life of the whole world, listen to this. And when God was going to take the life of the whole world and destroy it and all the sinners and condemned to die, Christ died for all of us. Huh? God could not cross over Christ being his own son. Praise be to God. And that's exactly what happened. God could not cross over Adam. When Eve, it was time to die for what she had done, and the judgment was upon her, God, Adam stepped out to take her. And God could not cross over Adam, just like he couldn't cross over Moses. See? Moses couldn't have done that. Moses had no blood but human blood, like we are. So therefore, his blood would not be, it would not suffice. But Jesus, being the blood of God himself, the created blood of God, God just excused the entire human race then of sin, because it was all laid upon him. And he went to Calvary and he died out of the presence of God and he suffered. Huh? All of that back there, all that Moses was typing, all that Adam was typing, all every one of those prophets was typing, here was the full expression of every bit of it in Jesus Christ. Amen. And he was cast into hell because that he was sin. He was made our sins upon him. And there our burden bearer took our sins to Calvary and from Calvary to hell. And God raised him up on the third day for the propitiation of our sins. Praise be to God. And today, he's the only mediator between God and man. And we're freely pardoned and forgiven. God don't even know we ever sinned. Now, I've been sitting here thinking, since I just read that, and I didn't think about it in the study, but I was trying to think, somewhere, there must be somewhere where this prophet stood in the breach. Yeah. And the only thing that could come to my mind, and just did just now, and that was marriage and divorce. And there might be more, there might be other things that he said he'd done, but you know that Brother Branham waited for years and years to preach marriage and divorce. Mm-hmm. Now he hadn't received it all, because he said part of it he just received the other day on the mountain at Finger Rock when the pillar fire was going up and down, up and down. But in 1962, in Spoken Words of Original Seed, he said, I believe I have, thus saith the Lord. I believe I have the revelation. And he had part of it. He's seen part of it. And he said it would break up every church. So we can't help but assume that he was talking about polygamy. And so, but it could have been much more than that, because the whole thing was in a mess. The whole thing was in a mess. They had married and married and married. And it was even in the church, the deacons and the preachers and everything, they'd been married two or three times. And they'd marry and divorce and marry and divorce, and it was everywhere. And so it was terrible. And so, but he stood there in the breach and he told the people, go on as you are. He said they were ready to separate men and women. They were ready to separate husband and wife, believers, yeah. Believers of the message. Followers of the prophet, they were ready to separate and live alone because they had made so many mistakes. And that prophet come and stood in the breach and he said, no, God granted me this for you. And he said, go on as you are. Go on as you are. See, and today he's the only mediator between God and man, and we're freely pardoned and forgiven. Listen to this. And God don't even know we ever sinned. And I just tell you, it's too much. It's hard for me to comprehend, because this mind we got, we have the hardest time forgetting. Yeah. We have a hard time. We can forget something somebody did good, but you let somebody do bad, and we have a hard time forgetting. It's just there. And maybe it's just Satan does it or whatever it is, but it's just, we used to joke a long time ago, I'd say, memory's a strange thing. Memory's a strange thing. The things you remember and the things you don't remember. And some things you can just clear as a bell, and other things you know. I had something that I failed a brother on years ago. At the moment, I can't even remember what it was. It just came to my mind since that came up. And so one day we were talking, and I was apologizing to him again. And he said, I don't even remember that. And I was like, you don't remember that? And I was like, I wish I hadn't have brought it up. I see, because I don't want you to remember it. I don't want you to think about it. And but anyways, we somehow or another, Satan tries to work on those things, you know. So, but anyways, God helps us, and God don't remember. And so here's what I'm thinking: if that nature of God is in us, then that thing's going to help us to do the same thing. I know as a bride, maybe Satan is battling the mind, but from the heart, we're not holding anything there. As a Christian, as a believer, we don't hold anything there because that's Christ. And so we can't hold anything against one another. See, God don't even know we ever sinned. Our sins were put in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember no more. We cannot do that ourselves. We are finite. He's infinite. See, and our finite, we can still remember because we're not big enough. There it is. We're not. See, he's so big, he can forget. But he is so great that he even forgets we ever did sin. We are sons and daughters in his presence. Praise be to God. See, and all the things that he was, we are, see, and he become my sin that I might become his righteousness. He become your sin, see, that you might become his righteousness. So God cannot see no sin in you as long as your confession is in Christ. Now, someone said some time ago, if I believed a thing like that, why, I'd turn on the steam. I'd paint the town red. I'd go to every dance hall. I'd get drunk. I'd do everything. Why? Huh? You're already secured in Christ. What difference does it make? I said, that shows that you haven't got it. Huh? See, if you love the love of God ever struck your heart in the tenderness of Jesus Christ, you would be so in love with him, the world would be dead as your sin. And that's how you know you have the Holy Spirit. See? Not because that you can scream and shout, speak in tongues, or whatever it is, but when sin becomes dead and you're alive. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. Look at there, you song. See, now here in Louisville, and I'm closing with this little story right here. And Brother Adam said, here in Louisville, Kentucky, not long ago, a minister was talking. There was a young lady, and she had waited a little long in life to be married, somewhere around 25, 30 years old, and she was a fine, staunch Christian girl. And there was a certain man in Louisville that wasn't. And he hadn't lived such a good life, and he had run to dances and roadhouses and so forth. And one day he found a pardon for his sins, and he became a real Christian, a real staunch Christian. And about a year later, he fell in love with this young lady. And the young lady fell madly in love with him, and they were married. See? And after they lived together about 2 years, and I always love this story here. And see, and they said that this young lady said to her husband one day, she said, "Dear, I suppose it's kind of hard for you, just a new Christian." And said, "I've been a Christian since I was a little girl." But said, "For you, a young Christian, you have to stand all the wiles and temptations that goes with it after you sin so long." And he said, "Well, it does become a battle." And she said, "I want you to remember one thing." Said, "If the enemy does upset you somewhere and you fall and you go back into sin, don't stay away from home." Isn't this just powerful words, noble words, gallant words, what just wonderful words of love and passion and loyalty and everything you could think of good. If the enemy does upset you somewhere and you fall and you go back into sin, don't stay away from home. I want you to come home. You're going to find at home the same wife that you married. And said, "I'll help you to pray back and pray through and get back to God again. I don't want you to stay away." Said, "Look, I married you on the basis not of what you were, but I married you because I loved you." And she said, "No matter what you do, I still love you. I married you because I loved you." And the man that day went to work and was heard repeating in the place where he worked. He said, "Now, how could a man do anything wrong against something like that. When a woman that loves him so much, no matter what he did, was willing to come back and take him again and try it again before he even done it. See, it shows. Now listen to this. Now you multiply that by a billion, and then you'll have some idea of what the love of God is. See? When a man falls in love with Jesus Christ, the things of the world, when you think of what he did for you in the light of the scripture, not in the light of some emotion, but in the light of facts, what it is, then there's something happens in you. When the new birth comes in, the sin is dead as midnight, and as long as that light is in you, how can darkness shine? It cannot. Cannot do it, see? That's what God did to one man who throwed himself in the gap that could take the promise. And Moses being a type of this anti-type, that's why Moses stood in the gap for the people. Amen. And I think one last paragraph here, paragraph 50. Then I wonder in this day of this loose and lazy, soft Laodicean age that we live in. We all know. And we've been through the church ages. And we're living in the last age, the Laodicean age. This lazy, loose, happy-go-lucky, joking, sinful age of lust that we're living in now. It's a wonder that God doesn't say, step back. I'll just liquidate the whole group. See, what an age that we're living in. He will do that one of these days too. We know that it's coming. There isn't going to be no sparing to this because he's already. Someone died for those who wanted to escape. But he'll take those who was or has accepted Christ and become Christians. They'll be taken out of the wrath because then he could not do it. There was no more way of doing it in the time of Moses. And there's no more way of doing it in you. When Christ is in you, that's the life. That's the life. That's where he's expressing himself. And so that's what he paid the price for. He can't walk over that. He can't walk over, no matter how many times we fall down, no matter how many mistakes we make, no matter what our failures are, he can't walk over that seed because it's himself. That's why Adam couldn't, God couldn't walk over. Eve was Adam. Eve was Adam. She was a part of him. And Moses, he was a part of those people. He loved those people. He loved them so much. And he stood right there and claimed them. And then all of that typing Christ and coming down and Christ stepping in the gap when he didn't have to, when he had no sin, when he'd done no wrong. Did Adam have to do it? Adam wasn't deceived. He didn't have to do it. Praise God. Praise be to his name. Oh, how we love him. How we love him. Let us stand together. I'm going to ask Brother Goomba if you'll come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. And we're pretty much on time here. We'll keep you too long. But, we're almost halfway where my head. So that's okay. God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, we're missing the girls.
thank you very much for the dawn. That revelation is very interesting because some people think it's physical, and it seemed like Peter, because they were with Jesus. They said together. It seemed he was supposed to have more revelation. He talked about that guy who was like the prophet, like that. It's not physical. It's not physical. It's spiritual. It's something spiritual. It seemed like Peter should have known Jesus better. Yeah. Seemed like that. They slept together. They ate together. They went to swim together. They did things together. And they looked like they were buddies. And like they were buddies talk. get behind me, this Satan. What are you? How are you behaving like that, Peter, today? And he loved so Jesus so much until he knew he can't do this.
That's right.
Protecting him.
That's right.
Peter, Paul comes here. He doesn't seem to be know nothing. He's persecuting them. And Peter had a testimony that this man has more revelation, the revelation that is given to him above every man. It's not, he knows Jesus more than Peter in that manner.
Yeah.
it's not physical. It's something spiritual. It's a revelation by Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ revealing himself to you, personally to you.
Yeah.
Not knowing about it. That's why those people who think that Jesus Christ will come from the crowd of coming, they think that's a great thing. That's not a great thing. The great thing is what is spiritual thing that is that has happened to you. Nobody can take that away. Nobody can take that away.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Praise so those things are very good. Let's sing this song, if we have time. Mendacinia, I'm sorry. Thank God I'm free. 392. Thank God I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I've been born again. I'm his property.
Amen.
I belong to him.
Amen.
What number?
392.
Okay.
Okay. 392. Speak to us the way you've done tonight, Lord. Father, our hearts, Lord God, are burning within ourselves, Father. Lord God, seeing what you've done this hour and speaking the way you speak to us, Lord God, like your children, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for the service tonight, Lord. Thank you to know, Father, that sometimes the devil lies to us, Lord God, that we've seen, Lord God, and maybe there's no way to come to you. But story is so good, Lord, that, Lord, even when things go wrong, even when, Father, we don't feel like we are really worth it, Lord God, your hearts, Father, are open. You're waiting for us and encouraging us to come home, Lord. You're waiting for us. Thy love, Lord God, has not diminished at all, Lord God. It's great. It gets greater and greater and greater, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Help us to surrender. Help us to give ourselves completely to you, Lord God. Thank you for everything, Lord. We remember Brother Mike, Lord, as he's working, Lord God. He's not at home, Lord, and maybe driving down the road, Lord God, and whatever is happening, Lord. We also remember Brother Richard, Lord, I hear he's not being able to come even Sunday, Lord. We pray for him, Father, that bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Be with them. Watch over them, Lord God. Speak to their hearts, Father. I speak to our hearts, Lord. In all things, Lord, we give glory and honor, Father, as you help us to surrender and give all that we are to you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.